And favorite moments, man. I have a lot of favorite moments in games. Like recently, Faz and Journey both made some ridiculous impressions on me. The ending of Journey is probably one of the most powerful things I've seen in games. Like it's definitely a game. It's not it's it it feels like a game. It doesn't feel like they take away control or change it into a cutscene or whatever. You're still your character, and you're still trying to reach the top of that mountain that you saw at the beginning of the game. And just the complete feeling of that complete feeling of determination and the struggle is so well translated into how you move and how your character reacts to the things happening to it. That I like that is one of those moments where you just sit in awe and remember why video games, you know, the thing that makes video games special to me is still that a video game isn't a video game unless somebody's playing it, right? So the thing that's special to me about video games is that interaction, you know, that when you're reading a book, you would say like, this guy throws the ring into the fire. And if you're watching a movie, you say like Bruce Willis kicked the terrorist off a skyscraper or whatever. But when you're playing a game, you're saying I save the world, or I climb the mountain. And that is what makes games special. And as soon as I'm watching a little video of something, that feeling kind of goes away. Or if my character is suddenly doing all sorts of stuff that I can't do in the game, that it just breaks games for me. Journey, they did that perfectly. Like I felt I was struggling against the mountain. And in a similar way, I think Sword and Sorcery did a similar thing also with the mountain. The mountain is a recurring theme apparently nowadays. I didn't realize that. They're pretty similar in the way they end. That's nice. That's nice. No, but it's they're both really special in that they since we're talking about Super Brothers anyway, as Craig, who is one of the guys behind Sorcery, as he put it, is that those games speak video game, and they do it fluently, and that is nice. That sort of moment where you are struggling to do something, and they're letting you know the way. Basically they're telling you how you're feeling through what you're doing, and that is video games.
So one thing I often think when I'm watching someone play a video game or playing a video game, having made video games, is I can kind of deconstruct it down. Like I can see, oh, they're using this like selection of visual effects and this thing, and it all works really well together. But I'm not really there because I'm thinking of all the parts. Is it maybe part of the power of this that you're not seeing it? It's just everything's working well together so well that you just see the coherent whole and. Or feel the coherent whole.
I think if a video game is doing it correctly, you're not thinking about that at the moment you're doing it. You're doing it in hindsight, you know, like, oh, that was amazing. And then you start to deconstruct it in your mind. If it's a bad game I'm playing, I'm just looking at, okay, so that is what they did, and that is what they're doing, and this is what they want me to do, and they're using this trick by lighting, you know, giving this door a red light while all the other doors have, you know, blue light or whatever. If it's a good game, I'm not thinking about that sort of stuff. While I was playing Sword and Sorcery, I never went like, oh, they're doing this thing with the moon just by using some sort of, you know, lookup table to figure out when the next full moon is. I just went, oh, I need to keep looking at the moon at night to see when I can play again. So I think that, yeah, I think you're right. If you're making games, you start to look at games you could almost say you kind of ruin playing games when you start making games seriously, because you'll never be able to look at games in the same way as you did before you started making it. Like, I'm not completely sure because I can't really remember a time before I was making games. I've been making games since, like I said, since I was 6 or 7. But knowing the tricks and knowing the things and the techniques and all that, it takes away a bit of the magic, I suppose. But if it's a good game, the magic will still work, even though you know every trick and you know what they're doing and you know how they're achieving it, and you look at the sand in Journey and you just go like, oh, I understand that. Or in Fast, you go like, oh, I think I know how they did that 2D, 3D switching. You're just busy doing being the you know you're just busy playing the game first and foremost.
Yeah, but I mean, in any case, there's like, even if you can see that, it's still, I mean, it still works. It's still, you still feel it. Even if you can be thinking about it at the same time, you're still like, oh, wonderful.
Yeah, no, if I start thinking about a game, it usually means it isn't doing a really good job at keeping my attention. If I start thinking about how the things are technically, it's really sort of an obsession of mine. But I notice that if there's a good game and I'm playing it, I won't start to think about how to, like, I'll probably be doing it subconsciously, but I won't have an active thought like, oh, this is how to. Sometimes something really, jumps out and I just kind of go like, whoa, that, how did they do that? But I won't start thinking about it until I'm done, if it's a good game. And if it's, an okay game, I'll just be switching between playing and, analyzing. I think that was one of the things that made Fez so delightful for me. Is that, it's technically it's still pretty impressive, but still the thing with Fez is that even though you might understand how everything works technically, you still won't be able to get very far in the game knowing those systems, because it's about the puzzles in the end, right?
Yeah, like the thing that was really amazing for me about Fez was, I mean, I've like 120, 30%, and my brother was around this weekend, and I showed it to him, and I just handed him a controller, and I told him what the buttons were, and he was like completely in a different place, and he could pick it up, and I just told him, yeah, you can move around, it's a platformer, you press the shoulder buttons, and he immediately got it. There was no trying to figure it out. It was just. Yeah, so I mean, like, looking at that, I'm just like, shit, that's a lot of fucking work that went into making it feel so amazingly natural.
Yeah, but then even though the platforming feels perfect, the game still for me is so much about the puzzles that even though you might understand the game perfectly, still there's still something completely different. You have to really puzzle and figure out and make notes and do all that stuff. And there's no technical knowledge that will help you figuring stuff out, like in other games where you can just go like, okay, so this character has so much health points, so if I shoot it with this rifle twice, it will die. It's just you have to figure out the puzzles, and that was so still is because I've completed it, but I'm not nearly as close to completely finishing it. Just the puzzles are so much fun. I mean, like back in the days, so I used to play a lot of strategy games. I've always been a big StarCraft fan, and I played a lot of what was it called? It was one of those tycoon games, Transport Tycoon. That was really back in the days. In those games, you can always kind of say like, this is how it works. So this is what you should be doing in this situation. With StarCraft, it's just really fun if you're playing against another person, because at that point, all that knowledge is only somewhat helpful because you have like that sort of uncertain factor that is your opponent. But against artificial intelligence, StarCraft could really quickly get pretty boring because you just figure out how it worked, right? Although I have to say, like looking at StarCraft 2, I have some like there are some really great moments I've had in StarCraft 2 as well. Also spectating, like at some point I switched from playing StarCraft just to watching StarCraft. But some of the things people do in StarCraft are, you know, that is something really interesting that games do as well. They allow players to do. In StarCraft, they've definitely allowed players to do lots of really interesting stuff that might not have been intended, and people use that professionally or in really high level games. And if somebody figures out a new strategy or a new technique or does something completely unexpected, that is one of the things that I think games are really good at. Oh, and Minecraft. In Minecraft, I had one of my favorite moments in Minecraft, actually. I was digging straight down and then I fell 12, 13 blocks and I dropped into lava and died. And I love that moment. I absolutely like, I really like that moment. It's just like it is such a good example of how game Minecraft is. It's completely, it's about you and just figuring out how this world works and how to use it to your example. I only play Minecraft in hardcore mode nowadays. It's just such a nice way of not holding hands and just allowing people to play and figure out how it works, and then, you know, they screw up a lot of times, but you know, that's part of the game, I suppose.
Yeah, it's kind of the flip side. It's just letting you do whatever you like. Is that you're gonna do, retarded things.
Yeah, well, that is beautiful. Like that is beautiful for me. Like I am much. I have so many stories about Minecraft that I feel are worthwhile, you know, telling to friends and people. And I have so little with like the big narrative games. Like I played Assassin's Creed, and I play Mass Effect, and I play Call of Duty, and I have stories in these games and things that I tell friends. But then none of these stories feels as personal as the little blocks in Minecraft.
Well, it's like coming home from watching a film and going really excited to your friends and telling them the plot of the film, There's no point. Whereas with Minecraft, it feels like it's a thing you did. I mean, it might still be a reasonably tedious
Exactly.
story, but it's your fucking story. It's a thing that happened to you when you're walking down to the shops or whatever.
And only you. Like there are so many lovely roguelikes that I did play back in the days that were just, it's your story, it's your thing. That and I really like that about video games, just the fact that you can have your own little story. Like if one of my goals with making games is to make a game in which people tell stories about the game, if I can achieve that, you know, that is like a massive milestone for me. That at that point I know, like, okay, so that would be great. So looking at something as Minecraft, I go like, well, that is exactly what I was, you know, what I'm trying to get at. And yeah, just following those blocks and dropping and dying, that was just great, which is kind of a weird best gaming moment, I suppose, but it is definitely one of my favorite moments in games.
No, definitely, definitely. All right, loads. Thank you. All right,
You're super welcome, man.
gonna edit this down and it'll probably go up
Try to
later
make
this
5 minutes out of it.
week. There may be supplementary editions.
Yeah, like
Have
part two, part 72.
a
And then you got, I mean, I didn't even get into my favorite narrative game moment. I have those as well, but actually, I only have one or two of those.
Oh yeah,
I
go.
think, yeah, like fighting Metal Gear Rex in the first Metal Gear Solid game. Have you ever played Metal Gear Solid?
I've not played Metal Gear Solid, no.
No, at the end of the game, like the whole game, you're trying to stop this T-Rex-like bipedal robot that can shoot nuclear missiles from anywhere on the planet to anywhere on the planet. And then at the end, you accidentally activate it, like your setup, and you activate it instead of deactivating it. And the robot powers off up, you know, it's starting to come alive, and it's just this giant room, and you're like this little guy, and there's a, you know, a building high robot standing in front of you, slowly powering up, and you're just like, holy shit. And that is a really, really nice moment, because it's sort of a David versus Goliath thing, where you're absolutely sure there is no way you're going to beat this thing, and of course you end up, you know, destroying it. And that's a really, really, it's a really well-paced, well-built-up final boss encounter. You know what the enemy is right at the start. You know it's huge. You know it's dangerous. You've been trying to prevent it from, you know, booting up all the game, and then at the end they succeed in actually starting the machine, and they're using it against you, and all that trying to stop it, you know, you feel that in that moment, like, shit, I failed, and this thing is probably going to, you know, make my life a living hell for now. And then the fight itself is so much more powerful because you've been trying to stop it all the game, the whole game long. And the other is, I think, is from Mass Effect. The first time you fly towards the Citadel in the Mass Effect games, it's just such an overwhelming structure, and you can see so much care and detail went into making it a believable thing. And I can really appreciate, like, I'm a big science fiction fan, and I read lots of... like, that is one of the things me and JW have in common, that we do agree on. Like, bad science fiction is, like, the best type of book ever. Especially the science fiction type where they still believe, like, Venus had, like, tropical plants and dinosaurs.
Oh, shit, the one with Venus. They thought Venus was locked to the sun. I love that.
All sorts of that sort of, like, that sort of science fiction. I mean, honestly, that shit is amazing. I found a Choose Your Own Adventure science fiction book in Boston during PAX, and I just got it, and it's been horrible to read, but so much fun. but good science fiction, I think, is really about creating a consistent fiction and world, and I think that is really important as well. And just flying at the Citadel for the first time and seeing how huge it is, and the little city patterns on the panels and all that, just made it feel like such a believable thing. And I don't quite remember the last time a game made me feel like that. At least the AAA game made me feel like that, you know, like, whoa, this is something really real. Fez did that so much better. Fez has so many little details in which you just kind of go like, oh, wow, that is just a lot of history in just, you know, something where you're not really looking for history. Have you played? You have played,
yeah,
Fez, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You got like 103% or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The door with the four cubes? It's a little forest world. It's the smallest world in the game. It's a forest world. You have like three buildings next to each other.
Yeah.
Right? You know what that world is for, I think?
Go on.
It's lore. It's just story. It's the world as it was before people realized it was 3D.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Completely flat buildings. They don't have depth. They have a door. There's no backside. There's no side. There's no other side. There's just the front. It's just a piece of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he put that in the game, and he's not explaining it. He's just allowing you to figure it out. And that creates a really consistent world. Like, you understand that world through that, even though you might not, like, consciously get it. I think subconsciously you're just kind of going like, huh, why is this place flat? That is weird.
I don't really like you just kind of establish the world in your head, and it just leaks out into all of the details, because clearly it has to be consistent, because, I mean, it never really explains why it has to be consistent, but everything builds towards it.
Yeah, so I think having a consistent fiction is so important in the game, and in Mass Effect, like, they just sort of nailed it. The world was there, and the characters and everything, and it was believable, and there was nothing in there that stood out as, you know, a sore thumb, like, where did this come from? I don't get this. It all made sense. And then you add Mass Effect 2 and 3, who didn't do that as well. But, you know, the first Mass Effect really nailed that for me. Holy shit, I've been stretching this for 10 more minutes.
Supplement 72 to 124.
I'm sorry.
That's cool. Thank you very much.